Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Boyd, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
Hola, baby. I'm getting ready for my holiday. I'm gonna be in the sunshine, knocking at the slots. Just off holiday next week. So, there's no joy having holidays, is there? Really, anybody who's gone on holiday recently needs to know that it's always terrible before you go, and it's terrible after you get back, and you can never switch off, and we're all gonna die.
Wonderful, Pete.
The
wonderful
holiday. They should get me on a tourist board.
Where are you going on holiday? Are you allowed to say where you're going, or is it a secret?
Not really. Costa Rica. Never been.
You bastard.
I didn't choose
absolute
it.
Absolute bastard.
I didn't choose this life.
Unbelievable. Why? It's not going unbelievable. To Costa Rica. Why don't I go to Costa
you're
Rica?
You're going every. You've been to Canada lately. You've been to Los Angeles lately. You're in London. Outrageous.
Yeah. None of those things were a holiday, though, were they, really?
Yeah.
I want to go to Costa Rica and sit on a beach. I've been on a holiday recently in the Lake District, right?
Right.
In North England.
Yeah.
A beautiful place.
Yeah.
Stunning place.
A lot of lakes.
It's been rain every single fucking day.
That's the risk,
I can't go outside. It's rubbish.
It is
Why
beautiful,
don't I go to Costa Rica?
Though. It's very beautiful, though. I would say it's very beautiful. Do it on the way back.
I'll just get the flight that goes from Costa Rica to Tokyo on the way back, shall
I? It'll be a Costa Rica, Los Angeles, and Los Angeles fucking, all that business.
I'm not going back to Los Angeles. I'm all Los Angeles
out. Los Angeles out. How many days were you actually in Los Angeles just to get punched in the face?
Too many days. I was there, I think, like 6 or 7 days.
Right.
And I don't need to go back for a while.
Right.
It's a very full-on sort of city. Just no relaxation. Maybe
where,
it's because I was being punched in the face.
Exactly. Where were you staying? Were you staying in like West Hollywood? Were you staying downtown? Were you staying in
on
Malibu?
On the last 3 days of the trip, I stayed in West Hollywood.
Right, okay.
Which is really nice. Mm. On the most of the trip, I stayed in downtown LA, and that wasn't very good. And I don't think I'll be going back there anytime soon.
Pretty honking.
It was a bit like the Wild West. There was a lot of shady shit going on there. It wasn't overly safe at night, and that being said, LA, a real tale of two cities. But if you are listening to this, guys, and you're going to Costa Rica anytime soon, this week, next week, be wary of Pete Donaldson. Keep your doors locked. He did reveal in last week's episode that he sleepwalks into people's beds.
Yeah. And then tries to apologize with flowers. How do you like them apples? Terrible.
I'm sensing a documentary in the making here to revive my fortunes.
there was a guy
who sell to Netflix.
I found this. I mean, is it? I mean, he was found guilty. There was a bloke who used to work at my radio station who got arrested for child pornography. And And like, if you're in that game, right? That awful game. That if you're in that game and you do that sort of thing, maybe don't give your laptop to a mate to sell on eBay, because
oh my god!
I mean, is that not absolutely insane behaviour? Like, I mean, you go into prison anyway because it always comes out. But, like, I mean, it's how they got Gary Glitter. He took his PC to PC World. What do you... Do you not think not people are going to fucking scoot around the fucking hard drive? That's what I'd be doing. If anybody... Chris, if you gave me a hard drive, right, I'd be like, I'm scooting around that. I want to see what's on there. I want to have a scoot.
I will never know how they think. I don't want to know how they think.
No, I mean, to be fair, if you're into that sort of thing, all bets are off, isn't it, really, I suppose.
My school caretaker from high school, he turned out to be a paedophile, which is really unpleasant because I saw him every day in the corridor. I was in the RAF cadets. They're like cadets at my school, Army, Navy, RAF. I was in the RAF section. And even though he was the school caretaker, he was also like the head of the RAF cadets as well.
Right.
And it was really, you know, finding that out was really quite fucked up.
Yeah.
Like it is a... And, you know, Charlotte's binge watching Netflix documentaries all day, every day about crime.
Crime.
It's not like happy, nice things. It's always like the man that killed his family for seemingly no reason.
Mm.
There's always some horrible document. And the one I walked in on the other day was a documentary on... I think sort of paedophile hunters or catchers in North England.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a good documentary, to be fair.
I mean, they're grim individuals themselves. I can't help but think that a lot of that caper is very much Dr. Heal ourselves. I've got a debt. So I've got a debt to the world, the things I've done, so I'm going to hunt pedos. Like the kind of pedomania of Great Britain perpetrated through the tabloids and through Facebook groups of stocky men from fucking Rotherham going around and just hitting meek nonsense. It's potential problematic people. It's really fucking... There's something wrong with this fucking country to the core on every side.
Well, I wouldn't say it's just the UK, as we're going to discover in today's episode. It's weird that we should bring this up because it wasn't really planned for our usually happy and upbeat intro. Both the news story and the story of the week.
Yeah, it's quite
dark territory.
But you know, that's what you get with a podcast. You can't all be talking about fucking, oh, look at this dinner I've had. Look at this new brand of Coolish. Look at this new flavour of ice cream.
This is a no holds barred, dark episode.
Exactly.
Of Born Japan.
Damn,
if you've got
right.
a kid, put your hand over their ears, or don't expose them to the unpleasantries of real life world. I don't fucking know.
Put your hand over their ears.
It really worries me sometimes when someone's like, I love the Born Japan podcast. Me and my 6-year-old son listen to it.
Right.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I swear so much. And
I'm not a role model either. Hey, kid.
Piece of disgrace.
Get your hand in their purse, right? There's money in there. You can buy sweets.
No, 2 weeks ago, Pete basically debated how great robbery is, if I recall. Maybe I remember that wrong. But you did endorse crime some degree.
I love crime.
Excellent. Horrible. But there's like on iTunes, where you look at the Broad Japan podcast, there are some episodes where they've got an E for explicit next to the title.
Really?
And this.
I thought I had to flag that
up. Yeah, because it's explicit.
But how do they know that? I never checked that box.
Fuck word.
I never checked that box. How are they finding out that I'm using the F's and the C's and the F's and the Jeff's? Outrageous.
Well, Too Much Volcano also got listed as an explicit song. But I don't remember,
Chris. I'm afraid if Natsuki's in the fucking room, excuse my language.
True.
It's getting that biggie. It's getting a parental advisory sticker on the front of the CD. I'm afraid. Tipper God's got your number.
Certainly needs one. All right, here we go. So the story of the week. Let's launch into the fun. Story from Mel. Hi, Chris and Pete. I thought I'd write and share with you my not so nice experiences with flashers in Japan, as I haven't heard you mention flashers before. Just train gropers. This should point out the story of the week refers to train groping, so that's great. While I love my time in Japan, the flashing wasn't that fun. Here is a brief summary of my encounters with Japanese flashers. While crouched down, searching for some greeting cards in a nearby empty department store in Matsusaka, in just south of Nagoya, I became aware of someone standing next to me. When I turned my head, I was confronted with a man's you-know-what. Shocked and because the greeting cards were in the toy section of the department store, I hurried away and sought out some shop assistants, trying to explain what had happened. But their response was just to go, "Eh? Eh?" So I just gave up and left. Then my girlfriend and I went to Kyoto for a holiday at New Year's. One day, we were walking along quite a busy road, and a car slowed down next to us, and the man driving started yelling, "Oi! Oi!" Arched up awkwardly in his seat, The driver, while steering the car with one hand, had his other hand around his dick, trying to draw our attention to it.
Oh dear.
We immediately swung our heads forward and kept walking, ignoring the flasher. The people in front of us didn't seem to notice what was going on. Another friend, also female, and I were walking through an underpass one afternoon in the city of Tsu. The only other person in the tunnel was a man who just seemed to be loitering. He suddenly pulled down his sweatpants, flashed us as we neared him. Fed up and angry with being flashed for the third fucking time, I explained, "Chisaidus ne," very small. And with that, the man said, "Simasen, sorry." Pulled off his sweatpants and ran away. Have you heard much about flashes, or have you met any women that have been flashed? Cheers, guys. Mel. Bloody hell. Unlucky Mel. This is awful. Three experiences there. I haven't heard anyone who's had that many encounters in one go. Thoughts, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, I mean, the way the email's written, it almost feels like it was all happening in one bloody day, really. I mean, even if it's spread over, yeah. Like, I would very much like to know how long Mel was out there, because I mean, it seems like a fucking horrific set of events, and it's probably testament to how good the rest of Japan is that Mel's still got you know, slightly positive things to say about it. You know, enjoyed the time in Japan, but yeah, if I see fucking lads, knobs left, right, and centre, unsolicited. That would certainly take the shine off. Certainly, so I'm sorry that you went through that, Mel. But it's just grist for the mill when other people talk about whether it's safe for women to walk around. It's you know, these things happen, and it looks like Mel got it worse than most. But
well, I mean,
I don't know
if Japan is worse than countries in the West. But I think the key takeaway is that it's not free from these things happening. I think a lot of people think, because Japan is very safe across the board, these sort of sexual harassment situations just don't happen, when in fact they do. I remember, you know, I was in a shop once with Sharla, and it was Daiso, 100 yen store, and I was just walking around, and she was the other side of the store, and she came over at one point and said, "There's a man following me around the shop." And I was like, "No, surely not." Mm. And yeah, he was. We sort of moved from one side of the shop to the other, kept moving. And sure enough, this little weird guy with a hoodie up, I think a hat on, would sort of pop his head round the corner like a fucking horror movie. And it really riled me up, and I just did not know how to react. Like, I often rewind back to that situation. It's one of those things. I've talked about it on this podcast before, because it happened, I think, a year or two ago. But like, I didn't know what to do. Mm. I'd like to have just punched him in the face, because you kind of see red in that scenario, right? Mm. But he was being very sort of sneaky and clever about it. He had his camera out. He had his phone in his hand. And he was sort of subtly taking photos. He wasn't getting too close. He was trying to create this sort of plausible deniability around it, right? Mm. So if I had called him out at the store, if I had called him out, he would have been like, no, I'll just walk around the store buying nothing.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even have a fucking basket.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have just knocked him out and smashed his head in. But then that's not a good thing to do either. And I wouldn't have had a visa at the end of it, probably. I think if it wasn't Japan, it was the UK, I would have acted differently.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't know what to do. In the end, we just left the store. I did sort of block him, and I walked up near him and looked kind of angry and started, like, I don't know, pacing uncomfortably. But like, I was worried I was going to snap, like actually just lose my mind and just go all out. And if it happened again, I think I would, next time, I would either do something. I would film them. I should have pulled out my phone and just filmed him. Like, I'd been really, like, obvious about it in retaliation. I'd been like, "Look, you're on camera," and just said out loud, "You're a pervert and you're on fucking camera. You're going on YouTube Shorts." But like, I've got a YouTube channel. You're going to be famous. I should have done something. I didn't, and I kind of regret that. But you don't know what the situation is.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't ask for that. But I think we talk about, you know, I mean, you said, like, that the West isn't immune for this sort of thing. But I would say that, although you do increasingly see adverts on the tube from the government basically saying, explaining what sexual abuse is, or sexual assault is, you know, extending to staring, just being a fucking menace, basically sort of making it clear that certain behaviours aren't allowed. And but I would say that Japan and Tokyo, to a certain extent, I mean, there's not many places in the world where you have to have women only carriages. And moving into the new story of the week, I always forget how to say this. The
Tokyo. Oh, Toei Oedo
line is introducing a woman-only carriage on its subway to thwart molesters and other unsavoury characters. The Tokyo Metropolitan Government announced, because this is obviously something that happens on a few lines in Tokyo. I think like they have like women and children-only carriages, and basically men aren't allowed to go in there. And it's probably something you kind of need to look out for if you're a male traveller, that you don't go into those cars, because it's not always. There's a bit of pink kicking around, but it's not always very clear about which ones are women and which ones aren't. But you don't necessarily. I mean, there's probably a few places in the world that really fucking needs it. But I would say you don't need. You know, Japan's one of the few places where they've had to instigate this, because there's a real culture of, you know, thinking that grabbing women on trains is somehow not acceptable, but treated like horseplay or something. You know, the pornography's full of it. You know what I mean? That kind of like it's almost like a bit of a taboo kind of fetish that people are into. But
I think one thing is on Japanese trains, of course, they are so damn crowded, particularly in Tokyo. Go on a train in Tokyo in rush hour and it's a terrifying experience, because you're sort of crammed in a way where you can't move your arms or leg. You're basically sandwiched in with thousands of people and you can't move. And it's at that point that you are, you know, vulnerable to this sort of thing happening.
Yeah.
People will touch you, grope you, whatever, and you won't know who or where or how, because you can't really even rotate your body to see. And that is why it's sort of prevalent in Tokyo, that sort of situation, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, people panic in that situation, and Japanese women don't really call them out or scream or shout or do anything. They sort of just take it as well. I don't know why that is. I guess, you know, it's probably 50 fucking times. They don't want to bring attention to themselves, and it's an uncomfortable situation. Mm. They'd rather just sort of go along with it rather than actually raise attention to it.
Mm.
Whereas I feel in the UK, if that happened, a British girl would probably rip their fucking head off. I don't know. I do think that's unfortunate that's why it also happens as well, because they know they can get away with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and let's make it clear, like 1% of sexual assaults and rapes and all the rest ever make it to a conviction. So
that's true. Yeah,
the figures are atrocious on it. So you would understand. I wouldn't fucking. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. I know for a fact I wouldn't fucking kick off. I just wouldn't. This is just fucking depressing. Never mind. But look, it's important for the podcast to reflect. You know, to. White men in our bedrooms going, yeah, fucking Japan, cool. It's important, I think,
bedroom.
For us to
talk. I'm in my bedroom.
I'm in a hotel room. It's everyone's bedroom. Imagine the things that have gone on in that room, and you're just going to sleep there. Ugh, gross. But yes, I think it's important to reflect these stories when they come up, and it's all right to have a themed episode that, you know, nobody wants to do
themed
this.
Episode.
A themed episode. Well, it's a themed episode, isn't it? It's an unhappy accident that we're having to talk about two quite similar stories. But I'm sorry that Mel went through what she went through with her partner. Rubbish.
It's bad, but when I look at all my friends who are girls in Japan, although they've usually had at least one experience somewhere along the line, they wouldn't allow that get in the way of the experience of living and working in Japan. I think that's the main thing. But just stay wary. Be aware of this. Japan, things do happen. Bad things happen like this, right? And I can see why the women-only carriages on the Oedo line are appropriate, in the same way that they're popular and used on the Yamanote line. And don't be that one guy who accidentally doesn't see. Getting on. I've done it once. Mm. I wondered why I was the only man in the carriage.
Yeah.
It was fucking awkward.
Right.
And I got on the train.
Oh, no.
Because it says women-only carriages or whatever. And so I got on. I wasn't reading. I was in a hurry. I think it was one of my first times in Tokyo, and I didn't know this was a thing. Because if we don't have it in the UK, I don't think we do. And then I was like, uh-oh, I'm the only guy here. And people are looking at me. What have I done wrong? And then I saw the sign. I was like, oh shit. And the moment we pulled into the next station, like a minute or two later, I darted off the train. Yeah. So be careful of that. Don't be a wolf amongst sheep. Don't be that one weird foreigner causing problems on the train.
Oh, dear.
We'll be back in just a moment with your stories and comments in the fax machine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Donaldson, please have something happy.
We've got a message.
Want to talk about horrible things
we've
anymore.
We've got a message from...
It was candy and
we've
chocolate.
Got a message from... it could be George, could be Jorge. I don't know. Either way, hello. Dear Caribou Coffee, Chris and Pete's... Coffee, Pete. Nice. Name is Jorge or George from the US, and I'm planning my highly anticipated trip to Japan this spring. I was curious what you would recommend my absolute first, you're in Japan now, meal should be when I fly into Tokyo. What about the... what about the... you can have, like, fish semen, can't you? That's a bit of a delicacy.
Supposed to be the happy bit now.
Yeah. What's that stuff called? I always forget what it's called. Fish.
Shirako?
Sperm. Shirako, yes, that's the stuff.
Shirako. It actually doesn't taste as bad as it sounds.
No.
It's quite light and fluffy, and but just by virtue of what it is, I generally avoid it.
Fishy.
For me, the first restaurant I would go to is the sushi chain Sushi Zanmai, which are all over Tokyo and whatnot, and they serve the best tuna in Tokyo. That's not a Michelin star restaurant, right? And I'd get a tuna set, just cover a big plate covered in tuna.
Yeah,
I'm salivating thinking about it now. It's been 2 months since I had it, but it's so rich and buttery and good. It's the best 3,000 yen you'll ever spend. Sushi Zanmai, do it. Do it, Jorge.
It's,
or George.
It's kind of... I'm going back to the Shirako.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Shirako, I mean, that's the thing. Because we eat caviar. We eat the eggs of a fish, right? We eat that all the time. That's standard for us, isn't it? But it's just something about... the, you know, again, patriarchy at work and all that, but the sperm sack just seems very...
I don't mean, dwell on this.
Shirako can also be prepared grill top by cooking it over charcoal, giving the sack a tightness and the interior a velvety pudding-like texture. I mean, ooh, they make egg custard out of it. You can make it in a hot pot. You can have it on the top of sushi. And it's... I could only eat it in tempura, I think. I'm looking at it and I just need it hidden from sight. I need it hidden with a load of beautiful fluffy batter, because I don't know, a cod sperm, man. I don't know why eggs is fine, but sperm is... I'm a man who prides himself at trying everything five times to try and get a taste of it. There's not a single thing I think I've ever eaten that I've not went, I'll have that a few more times and I'll see how I go. And I've acquired a taste
eventually.
Well,
you love that raw horse.
Sashimi, your natto, bloody... I've never had frog's legs, but like snails, I hated when I first had it, but I kept eating it because I just wanted to go, well, I want to acquire a taste because it seems important to a lot of people. Managed to sort of, you know, come out the other side sort of thinking, well, yeah, I can probably take that. But yeah, Shirako, I mean, maybe that can be one of my opening gambits when I get up. Try cod sperm after a 14-hour flight. Feeling a little bit worse for wear, just, you know, get the old sperm.
Oh, don't do that. Never do that. We got one here from Bronson.
Bronson.
Moving on swiftly, yeah. For fuck's sake. We got one here from Bronson. He doesn't want to talk about sperm.
No.
He says, hello, Chad Bod Chris, and perfect physique Pete.
Oh, thank you.
Chad Bod, I'll take that. Mm. What are some of the best means you've found in Japan to meet people? And what ways can I start learning Japanese now to put me in a better position to talk Japanese to people once I arrive? Bronson from Viva Las Vegas. Ooh. I would say download the Human Japanese app. It's the one I've recommended to everyone, from my editor to PewDiePie, and they all use it. What's that app everyone uses? The that language learning app that you probably
Duolingo.
Used at least once. Duolingo's fun, but you don't... I've never met anyone who's had a conversation after going
bird.
On Duolingo.
It comes back and goes, "Oi, oi, you haven't been on the app for fucking ages. I'm gonna fucking cut you, mate. I'm gonna claw your fucking eyes out if you don't learn some
fun.
Spanish."
This is like Pete Donaldson's aggressive language learning talk.
Oi, sit down, learn some Japanese, prick.
Study through violence. Study through under threat.
That's all. That's all like a workout guy is. That's all a fucking personal trainer is, isn't it? Just the threat of violence when you're running around.
Maybe in Hartlepool, mate. Right, not okay. In Japan. Yeah. Duolingo. It's fun, but like it's not really practically applicable. It's more like a game, and do it for sure. But if you actually want to learn how to speak and listen and communicate in Japanese, Human Japanese. Great app. No, they're not sponsoring this. They should be. I've not shouted out a product or service
as much
as I've shouted out them in the last decade. Why haven't I got my sponsorship deal? Other than that, best place to meet people, I don't know, go in a bar. Go in lots of... It sounds like a cop-out to go in a foreign bar, like a British bar or an Irish bar in Tokyo. But those are the places that you'll meet the most open-minded Japanese folks willing to speak to you, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or just go to izakaya. And pull off a Pete Donaldson. I think, you know, as we mentioned last week, Pete Donaldson went to an izakaya in Niigata alone and helped a crying waitress get over her death of a friend or something.
I'm just a trouble wagon.
I wasn't really listening.
I'm just a massive trouble wagon. I just sort of turn up at the bar, smoking a gawa, wearing a suit, and I sit at the bar and I, you know, get out some sata or something. Something through it, and I sort of turn to the people next to me. I say, "Guys, you have had Shirako before?"
That would actually be a really good opener. I'd love that. I fucking love that.
Have you ever, I mean, I'd love to try it, but I haven't got any friends to enjoy eating cod sperm. Or, I tell you what though, like, the one thing that has really, it's not really a icebreaker, it's more of a ice pulverizer.
Right.
I've got a picture on my phone of an elephant with boobies.
Brilliant. What?
My mate, I've probably told this story on the podcast before. Apologies if I have. I think I have. I tell it on every podcast because it is a great icebreaker. mature mother elephants have big old boobies, right? And
right.
My friend was working on the CGI for the 3D version of Jungle Book. And they had to have a big afternoon meeting about whether this grown-up, post-pubescent elephant, by all rights, should have big old boobies, because elephants have big old boobies. They had to basically decide whether or not to give this elephant, who should have had boobies, boobies. And they went with no boobies, which is inaccurate. But they thought the boobies would be way too distracting from what they're trying to achieve with Jungle Book to have this elephant with boobs, because people will be coming out of the cinema going, sorry, did you see an elephant with boobs in Jungle Book? Was that just me that just saw these big old boobies? But yeah, the elephants have boobs. Go, if you're listening, wherever you are, and if you've heard me tell this story before, apologies, go to Google, type in elephant breasts or elephant boobies, and prepare to be astonished, all right? Because elephants,
just as I thought,
have
this
boobies.
Podcast could not get more explicit.
What's Japanese for elephant?
Zor.
Zor?
Z-O-U, Zo.
Zo, Zo no Opai.
Oh, God.
Is that right?
That
Booms
is the genius
elephant?
Of Pete Donaldson. That's why he thrives, yeah. In izakayas,
exactly.
Around Japan. He goes in.
I just turn to someone and I finish my finish my real expensive $40 whiskey, 25 years old. Zo, no, up I. And they look at me and I go,
you get deported.
They're in.
And
old Talky Donaldson, they're in. They are captivated in the elephants with boobs story. Apparently, I told that story 3 times to the same neighbour when I first moved into the road. About elephants having boobies. And they pretended they'd never heard it before. Brilliant.
Well, Bronson, don't do that. Unless you want to get deported swiftly. Mm. But be bold, yeah.
Bold.
Do something similar to that, but not that. We got one last question / story here from Simon. He says, hello, Big Boss Broad and Diamond Dallas Donaldson.
Yes,
Simon,
love it.
But
of wrestling.
Sunny old Winchester, England here. Hope you're doing well. Are children expected to be silent on transport, etc., in Japan, or is there a greater understanding that kids chat, ask questions, get upset, and generally probably won't be able to adhere to the be quiet on public transport rule?
Yeah.
Thank you for being legends. Cheers, Simon. I think they are quite well behaved in Japan, but if you've got a baby or a kid screaming, people are sympathetic, shall we say. But don't worry about it. No, unwritten rule, I don't know. I think you'll be all right. I think you'll be fine.
I honestly think kids over a certain age, they do kind of vibe out the vibe. You know what I mean? They kind of can get the vibe a little bit. Mm. If it's really absolutely pin drop quiet, babies do generally kind of fall in line. I mean, there's obviously outliers, and anybody with kids have probably gone, Pete, what the fuck are you talking about? But I do think babies do have some kind of, like, whether they go, not babies, but like, you know, toddlers, they sort of go, it's quite quiet in here. Probably best if I don't start screaming.
I find Japanese babies really don't cry that much. They're really well behaved somehow. I don't know the science behind it, but they're great. They're brilliant. And then kids in Japan, they kind of read the air on things. But like, even if you go to Japan with your kid and they're a bit loud and annoying, it might be awkward because transport in Japan, public transport, is usually like a fucking library on wheels, right? And people are quiet. And I get self-conscious talking on like a train in Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, unfortunately. No one is going to shout at you or have a go. You might see or you might hear an elderly man go, That noise. That noise. That drives me mad. You get that sometimes.
Right.
That's what you might get. But that is not a good enough reason to not take your kid to Japan and have a whale of a time around Disneyland. Show them the elephants at the zoo, but not
and other stuff.
The elephant's breasts. Yeah. What a ridiculous episode. Sorry, of the Abroad Japan podcast. I need a fucking holiday in Costa Rica now. True. Keep the Costa Rica coming. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into the Japan podcast coming. At gmail.com. I want to get out of here. Yeah. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now. Have a great few days.
Farewell.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.